Everybody to Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. Happy winter solstice, family. It's another opportunity to plant those seeds. I hope everybody is doing the work that's required so that we can grow into the divine beings that we were put here to be. I am so very, very thankful to have as my special guest for this afternoon Brother Orwa Hehi Metarai Nkamit. He's a Paramount King with the Washington, D.C. HESP of the Oseraset Society. He's author of a fabulous book, African Names, Unlocking the Keys to Unlocking Your Power and Destiny. I screwed that up. I only have the book in front of me. Excuse me. But you all know African Names, right? The Unlocking Your Power and Destiny. And I guarantee you that somebody out there has used that book to choose their name. And we've done shows on that too. The importance of a name and choosing a name that help empower you to reach your destiny. And it's only fitting that I have Orwa as my guest. This is the last show of the year, and it's very fitting that Orwa be my special guest today. Orwa, Dr. Orwa Hehi Metarai Nkamit. We're in the second day of the winter solstice, and today's show is on the winter solstice intensive, or the winter solstice boot camp that's going to be held tomorrow in Washington, D.C. at the D.C. of the Oseraset Society, and we're going to tell you all about that. Again, I'm very, very humbled and honored to have as my guest today Dr. Orwa Hehi Metarai Nkamit. Many of you have heard him on this show before. He's a regular pretty much. I mean, we've done shows on the 11 Laws of God. We've done shows on the Asante Model. We've done shows on, you name it, Kemetic Spirituality, African Names. We've done shows on the I Ching, God Knows Best. And again, it's an honor. Anytime you have an opportunity to speak to royalty, you ought to be honored. And I am. Anytime you get an opportunity to listen to royalty, you should be honored. And I know that you are. So I know you're saying, okay, well, you want to move out of the way so we can get to my special guest. And I'm about to do that right now. And I also want to tell you about the music that you heard when I brought the show on. That is an awesome, 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 awesome song. And it's actually called, many people refer to it as the solstice song, okay, but I'll tell you about how you can get that. That is by Ma'ati Sa with Ankara Hamenetep and Orwat and Intachasa Ron Comet was the executive producer on that, and we'll tell you about how you can get that during the course of the show. But let me get to my special guest today. Brother Orwat, awesome, awesome, awesome opportunity again for us to sit and listen and learn. Thank you so much for being my guest today. Appreciate you coming back.
Thanks for the opportunity. Excuse me, if my voice is going, let me know. I'll try to correct it.
Okay, will do. Brother Orwa, again, We're talking about the winter solstice. We're in the second day of the winter solstice. Many of our listeners are celebrating the solstice, and this going to be a boot camp or a winter solstice intensive at the Washington, D.C. HESP of the Osara Set Society, and that's going to be tomorrow. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. The boot camp, or the intensive as we're calling it, is for individuals who are novelties, for which the solstice is a novelty primarily. I mean, other people can come as well, but for people who have not and we want them to get a picture of how you should do this, because the solstice is the most important time of the year. All of us understand that we come here to cultivate our spirit, but the cultivation of spirit is done in a cycle, in time. You know, everything works in the law of cycles, and the solstice represents the time of the cycle when the spirit is most receptive to being impregnated. So if we have something we want to remove from our behavior, some bad habit or whatever, solstice is a good time to work on that. If we have something we want to cultivate, some new habit, some behavior we want to develop, then the solstice is time to cultivate that. To sow the seed. It's a time for sowing the seeds that we want to sprout during the coming year. So I know you've had some programs on the solstice last week, I believe it was. So people got a good indication of understanding of what the solstice is about. But the intensive is for those people who want to come and participate in a group experience. Because when you're meditating in a group, when you're working in a group, it's a quantum, mathematical quantum result that you get from the experience. If I'm sitting at home meditating by myself, that's one thing. If I'm meditating with other people, then they combine, our energies combine, and we all benefit more from the experience. So the intensive will have two sessions of workshops starting at 1 o'clock, the 1 to 2:30, and then there'll be another one at 3:30 to 4:30, and then we'll have a group meditation to put into practice what we go over in the intensive.
Well, if we could, brother, could we talk about for a moment the goal, the end goal? I did a show actually with Hexham Suheru Sekhmet Neter on the fall equinox. And I asked him the question, and I know that since then we've gotten new listeners, and I don't assume that everybody's gone back and listened to all of the shows in the archives, but I think that that's an important foundation to lay, because we just want people to understand that these observances aren't just for the sake of having something to observe. You know, there is a goal in mind. There is an end goal in mind. You know, it's not just you're just observing something for its own sake, but there is an underlying reason why the solstice is being observed, and specifically from this, you know, the comedic philosophy. Can you talk about the end goal, why not just this observance, but any of the practices and the techniques and the observances that are taking place within the Osara Set Society? What is the end goal, the why of it all?
That's a good question. Ultimately, everyone comes to Earth for a purpose. Now, whether we know that what that purpose is, specifics of that purpose, we all have something in common, that we all want to be happy. Happiness is what everyone's seeking. The problem is, in Western culture, we're taught that happiness has to do or is conditioned to be a response to worldly events, circumstances, situations in our lives. We believe that if we can just have this thing, we can be happy. Or don't have to deal with this thing, we'll be happy. But the real reality is that true happiness is unending joy. And if my happiness is always predicated on my relationship with something or another, all things fall apart. All things are temporal. All things end. They have beginnings and ends. So if that's my base for happiness, I'll never achieve true happiness, because I'll be constantly moving from periods of joy to periods of sadness when I lose this thing. our ancestors understood this, and they created this situation where they taught the people that the true goal of life is to unite with God, because God is the only thing in existence that is beyond time, is eternal reality. So if I can connect with God, the divine, my divine consciousness, my true identity, if I can connect with that, then I don't have to worry about the circumstances and situations of life bringing me happiness or taking it away, because the joy of being a divine being on earth will give me that happiness that would be unending joy. Now, let's look at this, because this is a critical thing. We have to really get a grasp of this, and this is something that Shagam just really made very clear to us recently, that when you look historically, back in ancient times, the majority of people weren't able to sit and have lessons and discussions like we're having right now. This would have been a luxury for someone to be able to sit down and talk about the ways and why fours of the universe. Because most people in ancient times were working. Most people had to work for a living. So the framers of the knowledge had to put in ways that they communicate with, such that the people would get a grasp of what was going on, but they wouldn't get the in-depth presentation of what was going on. So they set up cultural habits or behaviors. They talk about God and you're talking about God in the abstract, it's kind of difficult to understand that for people who are just working for a living. So they came up with surrogates for God, things that they would use to represent God, so people could look at these things and connect with these things and then thereby believe that and understand that there's a God, but their relationship was based on to the surrogate situation. The problem with using surrogates is that those things are always outside of our true self. So those who are truly initiated, those who had the time to spend time in the temples, those who were going through the initiation process, those who were developing the scriptures, cultivating the scriptures in ancient times, those people understood that there's a deeper understanding to what God is. Reminds me of an article I once read. It was by a man, the article is entitled The Ancient Wisdom in Africa. And in this article, this guy, this white guy, this takes place in about the 1920s. His parents was working in southern part of Africa. He was there with his parents, so he's developed missionary kind of work. And one day, he came in contact with this sage, this African sage. And the African sage, and the guy starts up a conversation and says, well, I think, so they became kind of like friends. He said, well, I think you're going to go, he said, I'm going over to a certain position in the country. And the sage said, well, no, actually, you're going to go further than that. So he laid out what this man was going to do, how he was going to get there. When he got there, who he was going to meet. And so the guy said, well, that's not my intention. I'm not going there. I'm really just going to this point here. As it worked out, the guy ended up following and going where the man went. And he met a man who was his brother in terms of his spiritual brother, the man who, the sage who was initially talking to him. And at that point, the sage begins to school him on the elementary aspects of the spiritual science. And the spiritual science that the man talked about, he said, came from ancient Egypt. So he used the term Isis, right? It's a daughter. He was a member of the temple of this Isis. He said this science is like 4,000 years old. It's the only true science there is, right? So anyway, he starts telling this man this information. He says, and at some point he says, look, I'm gonna tell you about our science, but I can't guarantee you're going to learn it. But I'm going to teach you as much as we teach the common man, because that's probably as much as you can understand, right? So he's saying that the reality is that those who were initiates into this deep knowledge of ancient Kemet weren't people, everyday people. These were, because everyday, think about it, you have books. You can go pick up a book and read. There were no books back then. Most people were working from sun up to sundown just to earn a living, to get food. They were hunting, they were gathering food, or whatever. So they didn't have time to sit around and look at the stars and stargaze and do these kinds of things. So this is a luxury time period that we're in. And we really need to focus on that and think about it from the perspective of maybe we should take better advantage of what opportunities we have. Because we, once we put in context of what we can accomplish, what we can do, compared with what people did thousands of years ago, we see that, you know, we truly are in a beneficial scenario, situation, and we need to take more advantage of it. So the point of the whole discussion is that we have the opportunity to learn things on the level that people historically have not had. I mean, even a couple hundred years ago, how long has it been that since everybody was able to read? You know, 100 years ago, majority of people would still been illiterate. The ability to put information in a book and sit and study a book is something that we take for granted far too often. So from that perspective, we're going to do this intensive because we want to get into the essence of what our ancestors really taught. And what they really taught was that we are a divine being in essence, but we come in the earth through a human experience. And the goal of our experience is to awaken our divinity so we can live that divinity on earth, so we can become the purveyors of and the communicators of and the experiencers of what it means to be a divine being. Now, there's three pretty much universal scenarios that give that everyone attributes to God, being omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. But what does that mean? You know, our ancestors were very clear in their scriptures about what that looks like, meaning that we come to earth to become the vehicles through which God is able to experience itself. Because if you think about it this way, to be omniscient means to be all-knowing. And to know things, there has to be something there to be known. Knowing is an associative process, right? If I say to you, an apple is a fruit, and then I say to you that banana is a fruit, you're going to have some knowledge about a banana, even if you've never experienced one, simply because you're going to associate what you know about an apple to the banana. But to be all-knowing means that there has to be all things in existence, and you have to experience them. But prior to manifestation and creation, all there is God consciousness and God's energy matter, which is unformed. So for God to manifest its omniscient capabilities, potentials I should say, it has to create all things possible and then experience them. So we are the vehicles, man is the vehicle through which God has created to enable itself to experience the fullness of its magnitude. So all of us have the potential within us to become omniscient, to become omnipresent, and to become omnipotent. But it's a cultivation process, and it takes years of cultivation. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's not something you can read a book and make it happen, because it takes a lifetime of work and achievement and growth. It's like school. You know, you don't become a master in a particular discipline just by going to school 1 year. You have to go through a series of cycles and of births and rebirths and deaths and rebirths in the school cycles in order to achieve that level of understanding. Well, the same is true with divinity. So, but each time we have a solstice period, the winter solstice specifically, we have the opportunity to put one more notch in that belt, to put one more seed in the ground, to work toward the accomplishment and the conclusion of awakening our divinity. So that's the importance of this event. And so for those who, again, have not experienced a solstice, or this might be the first one, or for those who want to take advantage of a group experience, we're going to have this intensive tomorrow where they can come out and take part. And what are they going to learn? They're going to learn the primary thing they're going to learn is that for us to become divine men or divine women, we have to put, we have to sow into our psyche these 11 laws. These 11 laws, you know, in the Kemetic scripture, it talks about the creation of the world. And it says, never cheer the Lord of all. The first thing that was brought into manifestation was the law, Ma'al. And the law was the rock upon which everything else was built, everything else was created. So that law is important. So the 11 laws are the 11 laws of our spirit, 11 laws of our being. These are the things that guide our thinking. Once we've sowed the laws into our spirit, then we take that same, those thoughts to guide our thinking, which will move us toward actions. But for us to be successful at the actions, we also have to purify our energy. We have to strengthen our energy and purify our energy, because there's a lot of toxic stuff in the world, in the environment, in the foods we eat, and the air we breathe, etc. So there's going to be exercises that we're going to learn tomorrow that will help us to promote and purify this energy, because the energy is what's necessary for us to accomplish what we want to accomplish. So if I want to become a divine being, let's say I have a problem with, let's take a classic example. Let's say I have a problem with chocolate cake. It's my nemesis. It's sin. I sin on it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't walk past a piece of chocolate cake. Now, anything in excess is bad for you. So this becomes a sin for me because it is keeping me from eating the proper things or eating the proper way or moving beyond my attachment to and attraction to things that are appeal to me sensually, which is a problem. You know, the old thing about the devil is the one, the deceiver, the one who, as Wilson says, the devil made him do it. It's the one who puts that temptation into you. You know, the whole story about Jesus and the 40 days that was fasting and the devil was there tempting him to break the fast, etc. We all go through this experience. That's a metaphor, that's a story that we're supposed to use to guide our experiences. So if I'm committed to something, if I'm committed to avoiding abuse of something, it could be a drug, could be a food, could be a drink, whatever. For me to make that happen, I have to will it. I have to will it first. So I have to put the right idea in my mind that I'm no longer going to participate in this. Then I have to cultivate the energy to overcome that habit. I have to develop the energy. I have to purify the energy. I have to increase my energy. It could be that I'm just weak. If I'm weak, if my life force is weak, when I see that chocolate cake and I just give into it, then I need to improve my energy. It could be my life force is tainted. It's polluted. You know, it has some negative energy in it. So if that's the case, I need to purify it. All of this is important because the best idea is not going to take manifest if I don't have the energy to make it happen. So the earth is where we come to learn, to appreciate, and to experience the divinity of which is our being. But we have to go through the process of purifying our earthly being, our vehicle, our temple, so that God can shine through. You know, the whole thing about, you know, there's a lot of metaphors, a lot of stories about the importance of keeping the temple clean, etc. Well, the temple, ultimately, for each of us, is our physical body. And for the God dwells within the temple. For God to be in the temple and to shine itself through the temple, to experience the fullness of God in the temple, then we got to clean the temple up. And to clean the temple has to do with diet, has to do with air we breathe, it has to do with behaviors, exercise, all these things going to clean the temple. But if I just have the idea that I want to be avoid chocolate cake, but I don't do anything to purify my energy to allow me to overcome this habit that I have, this condition I have, then I'm going to fall short. So tomorrow at the intensive, we not only will talk about the importance of the laws in terms of 11 laws and how we have to sow those into our psyche to will to become the divine beings that we are, but also we're going to go through the exercises and practices that we need to go through in order to purify our spirit so we can take that knowledge and apply it in our lives. For example, let's do a little simple thing right quick. Everybody, I'm sure, is sitting down. If you're driving in your car, don't do this exercise. But if you're sitting at home listening on the radio or the computer or whatever, everyone stand up. Put your feet shoulder width apart. Point your toes straight like you're on railroad tracks. Slightly bend your knees. So when you look down, you should be able to see your toes and maybe a third of your foot. If you can't see your toes and a third of your foot, then you're bending too far. Then take your hands, put your hands to your side, down to your side, relax your shoulders, and just stand there in this posture. Now, while you're in this posture, you're going to take your tongue, put your tongue to the roof of the gum line of the upper teeth, and then you're going to begin to breathe. But you're going to begin to breathe in the proper way. So let's breathe the wrong way first so we can get a picture of what the proper way looks like. Normally, if you tell somebody to take a deep breath, and everybody learned this in gym class, unfortunately, the place where you're supposed to go to be healthy, they're teaching us the wrong health practices. Anyway, take a deep breath. Everybody breathes and their shoulder and chest expands. But that's wrong breathing. That's not the type of breathing that's going to enable us to cultivate our inner force, to develop our chi force or key force or whatever term you want to use, our raw force, as our ancestors said in ancient Kemet. So what we have to do is we have to breathe deeply but without the chest expanding. So we're going to do this abdominal breathing. So when you breathe in, the abdominal cavity should expand on the in-breath to about 70% of capacity. And then the fullness of the breath, as you go fullness of the breath, then some of the air will expand up into the chest cavity. And then you're going to breathe out. And when you breathe out, the abdominal cavity is going to contract. And you're going to do this breathing in this posture with the tongue there and your chin slightly tilted down, looking straight ahead with your chin slightly tilted down for about 15 to 20 minutes, several times a day. This is one of the exercises that we use to help increase our life force, to build up our chi force, mm-hmm. that will enable us to take the information that we're putting in our head and then have the energy to apply it in our lives. So we'll go through this exercise as well as a few others as a part of the intensive, so that everyone is well aware of what they need to do for this solstice for the next couple of days. But this doesn't end there, because the solstice is a planting period. We're planting the seed. So even though a solstice started yesterday, it's not too late to get in. There's always a late planting period for some crops. So you can go in, sow the seeds starting tomorrow and Sunday, the 24th, and then they will begin to sprout when the sun returns on the 25th. This is the whole myth around the birth of the 25th, the birth of the Christ. So the Christ was the sun, right, the son of God. So the sun was a metaphor for the effect of the earth's rotation around our sun and the tilt on the axis, and the fact that the day's sunlight begins to increase starting on December 25th. So as the days begin to get stronger and we keep working on it for the first 6 weeks after the solstice, then we're going to be planting. It's like nurturing the seed that you planted. So you're going to weed it, you're going to keep energizing it, you can keep nourishing the energy, et cetera, such that by the time the spring arrives, you'll begin to see the budding of this idea, this concept, this talent, this thing that you want to accomplish. So you can pick whatever you want to accomplish. But the important point is that if it's something that is deep ingrained within your psyche and your spirit that you need to overcome or plant, this is the best time to do it. So we want to encourage everyone to take this time and focus for the next couple of days on your idea, your goal. Plant the seeds into your spirit that you are a divine being. You have an omnipotent abilities, the ability to accomplish anything, but at the right time. Time is always a factor. So we can accomplish anything, but we can't do everything at the same time. So we need to identify what it is we want to work on, take the time to plant the seed of the solstice, and begin to work on it for the next 6 weeks prior after the solstice, such that by the time spring gets here, it will begin to spring into view, that which we want to accomplish. Such that time that summer gets here, it's fully manifested within our being. So to use the analogy of the planting season as a good way of looking at the accomplishments of our in our spirit in terms of cultivation and ideas and developing ideas.
Could you talk for a moment, Brother Owa, about the marriage that needs to take place between the will and that part of being that actually carries out, that has the energy to carry out and do? Because even as you mentioned planting seeds, you know, my mind was thinking about even how, even with this four-day window of seed planting, that a person could still, you know, plant the seeds, plant the proper seeds, but still has the will, has the ability to go dig those seeds right back up, you know. So if, for example, you take somebody that you use the analogy of the chocolate cake and they planted the seeds to properly be able to execute walking past that cake and not yielding to the temptation, but then one day in January or February, they decide, I don't want to resist anymore. I don't want to resist today. I'm going in there. I'm going to get me some cake today, you know. So if you could talk about just the will and, again, the marriage that needs to take place between the will and that part of being that actually has the energy to make that shift happen. Because, again, we still the will can't be overpowered. Is that correct or is that incorrect? When I say that, I mean, does the solstice, if you plant the seeds in the solstice, does that or does it not guarantee that you will have the success of the that you're looking for in the new year regarding whatever it is that you planted, the successful crop?
No, it doesn't. Meaning that we have to go back to the why. Why is it important for me to do this thing? And we're going to keep with the chocolate cake analogy. Let's say my doctor has said, if I don't cut back on my sweets, I'm going to end up, I'm pre-diabetic. Or maybe I am diabetic. And I keep have this fetish with chocolate cake. Well, my doctor said, if I don't do this, I'm going to end up creating diabetic, you know, problems with heart problems, high blood pressure, maybe lose a limb, circulation problems, etc. So what's my why? Why is it that I want to do what it is I need to do? If the ultimate why is I want to become the divine being that I am, I want to awaken my divinity, I want to unite with God, that's the ultimate why. And that's the why that we're really looking for and promoting for the solstice. Mm-hmm. I want to become the vessel through which God can express itself in the earth, in the world. If I want a better world, and we all want a better world, who's going to make it better? Humans? Humans are the problem. If we want a better world, we have to bring a higher level of functioning into the world. We have to bring a higher level of functioning into the world through us, because that's the purpose of man. The law of Maat says that, you know, God needs us to come into the world, and that to serve as the vessel through which God comes into the world is the highest act of love. True love is giving, seeking nothing in return, meaning that I'm going to do this because it's good for the whole, as opposed to individually, my person or someone else. So as long as my why is right, I don't have to worry about backsliding. I may be tempted. I may even fall down, but I can get back up. Meaning, if let's say 5 weeks in, I eat a piece of cake. Now, if I've been working on that seed for the 4 or 5 weeks going, I'm establishing some roots now, because it's not going to be a full fledged behavior. It's not going to be established until the summer, so it's still a seedling, it's a sapling, and so it's still vulnerable. It can still be uprooted. It can still be nurtured. It can still, you know, die, whatever. But by the same token, even though there might be a frost that comes by, if I've been nurturing the seed properly, if I'm putting these roots down the ground properly, it's going to survive until the spring, when the energy then manifests for it to come forward. So I have to keep visually, mentally meditating on the seed. I'm going to accomplish this seed. And then when the energy changes, when the energy comes up in March, in the spring, then the energy will be there to support my behavior toward accomplishing the goal. And then by the time the summer gets here, I should have established this behavior as a functional part of my being.
Well, Brother Orwa, you know, and I want to invite all the callers to press 1 if you have a question or a comment. The calls are coming in, Brother Orwa. Somebody wants to talk to you. You ready to take some calls?
Sure, why not?
Okay. I'm going to call the last 4 digits of your phone number, 7264. 7264, you are on the air with Orwa. Hey, he met to Ron Comet, Doctor in Comet. Welcome to Health, Wealth, and Divine.
Adia, come and get your clothes from out of here.
Pooh, you're on the air. 7264. You have a question, you press 1. You have a question or a comment for Orwa? I'll come back to them. Brother Orwa, you mentioned in the discussion, you talked about divinity. And that being the end goal for us to be able to be the vehicle through which God comes in and has access to the world. God needs us to come into the world, and fulfilling God's need is the highest act of love. Could you talk about that for a moment? What does divinity do? Okay, once we've made that commitment, that all-out commitment, and we have presented ourselves and done the work to become the vehicle through which God expresses itself in the world, what now? What does God do with this vehicle, and what does this divinity look like?
It looks like unending joy, true happiness. It's a goal that everyone's seeking. Everyone wants to be happy. Well, the only way we can truly be happy, which our ancestors identify as having unending joy, is if we put that joy into becoming a divine being. Because that's the only thing that's going to survive eternally. So if you can imagine enjoying life when you have something and enjoying life when you don't have something, that's what your happiness is. Happiness is not enjoying the relationship I have with someone, and then when I lose that relationship, I'm sad. Happiness is I enjoy it while I have it, and I enjoy the fact that I enjoy life when I don't have it. A lot of people end up, and this is a serious situation, because a lot of people lose their life behind situations like this. Some people lose someone they can't live on because they're so attached to that person as the source of their happiness. Well, that's not how our ancestors. That's Western culture. That's what our Western culture has taught us, that everything is based on externals, what I can touch, feel, smell, taste, and whatever the other one is, see. But God is not, as God is beyond the appeal of the senses, the limitation of the senses, I should say. God is the ultimate reality, which is in the will and the spirit are imperceivable. You can't perceive God. You can't see God. But God sees all. And so as we look in the world and we move through our lives, the fact that we do things that we don't want other people to see, so we do them in the dark. But with the fact that we're missing is that God sees all. God is always there. God is our conscious. It's always there with us. So everything that we do is there, seen by God. So the part of the important part of the solstice prep in terms of going through the 11 laws is identifying, is going through what we call the uchamedu, or the weighing of words in the heart, which says that not have I eaten chocolate cake. And as long as I hold on to that reality, that truth, then I've overcome that sin, which allows my spirit to become the vessel to which God can express itself in its fullest. Think about the things that you enjoy doing, the things we enjoy doing now, the things we can do now, and things we can't do now. Once we awaken the divinity within us, then we're going to enjoy everything. We're going to enjoy life itself, which is what truly we all come here to do. Unending joy is happiness, and that's what we get by awakening the divinity and purifying our spirit. So the part of the purification, though, has also to do with diet. So we don't have time to go through that part here tonight because it's material, the handout material. But there's certain things that people need to eat for the next 6 weeks while they're meditating for the next 6 weeks and avoiding the things that they know they shouldn't do and increasing their energy. A part of purifying the energy is diet. It's the things that we take into our body, things that we breathe, the way we breathe, the foods we eat, the things we drink. So there's an aspect of diet. And then ultimately, the critical piece is the low glycemic diet is what people should be following. But there's some specifics within that, specifics that we need to discuss, and we'll discuss all that tomorrow as well. So we're going to be, Shane, you're going to look at, first of all, who are we as beings? What's our purpose in life? To awaken the divinity within. We are divine beings. Well, how do I become a divine being? First, I have to sow within my spirit the 11 laws that govern the way my spirit functions. As I sow, so shall I reap. But I can only reap if I purify the ground, if I prepare the ground, prepare the soil to accept what I've sown. So I sow a seed. I have to prepare the ground, prepare my spirit, prepare my body, purify my body, clean my body, nurture my body, strengthen my body, etc., to accept the seed. And then I shall reap it as it begins to grow, if I continue to nourish it in its infancy. So that's the whole process in a nutshell. And we're going to go through all these salient points tomorrow in the boot camp.
I want to encourage everybody to make it there, regardless of where you are. If you're in the D.C. area, you're in Baltimore, come on down. If you're in Virginia, come on up. If you're in D.C., you need to be there for sure. Brother Warbaugh, I want to see if this caller is back. I'm going to try him one more time, or her one more time. 7264, I'm getting ready to come to you. Okay, 7264, you're on the air with Dr. Incomit. 7264, welcome to, are you there? Okay, they must have pressed one by. Okay. Well, Brother Orwell, could you talk about then for the people that are planning on coming out and for those who are attending different observations, winter solstice observations around wherever they are, could you talk about the commitment, the challenge, and what's at stake? The commitment, the challenge, and what's at stake? Because you've outlined some very important things. There are going to be a lot of there's a lot of work to be done, and becoming a divine being is not something like you said. You don't just read a book, read one book, and become a divine being. There's work involved. Could you talk about the commitment, the importance of being committed to that work, the challenge, and what's at stake?
Well, let's look at it this way. You know, the old saying, you reap what you sow.
Yes. Brother Orwell, are you still here? Well,
Hello?
Let me give the call-in number. Brother, you still there? Brother Orwa?
Yes. So it,
okay.
But there's, before we go any further, let me say that there's intensives in the D.C. area, but also in all over areas, New York. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. D.C. area, in New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, North Carolina. So wherever there's a society, Atlanta, wherever there's a fair society has, this intensive is taking place tomorrow. So I just want to put that out there in case somebody's listening from another area. But the ultimate goal is you reap what you sow. And if you spend these 4 days running around buying gifts, people for Christmas, whatever, drinking, partying, going out and stargazing, whatever you do, whatever you're doing these 4 days, you are sowing or reinforcing that seed within your spirit. So in ancient times, everything stopped in society for these 4 days. All commerce stopped, all business stopped, all activity stopped, all building stopped, and people were encouraged to spend these 4 days fasting and meditating, because these are the 4 days that lead to the resurrection of God within. So if I want to become, if I want a better world, and I want to be a part of the solution to that better world, which means I have to become a divine being, and then I have to sow these seeds within my spirit, and I have to nurture these seeds within my spirit. And by not doing so, then I continue to have the kind of world that we have now. Things will not get better if we don't make them better, and we're not going to make them better if we don't get better. And how do we get better? By nourishing our body, by nourishing our spirit. So as a part of the things, the fasting and the meditations that are going on, the science of it is that we're also strengthening, as a part of these meditations and dietary constrictions, we're also strengthening our brain, which is the vehicle through which we interact in our world. Right? The brain is the vehicle through which the mind operates, through which the spirit connects, to which we are able to make things happen in our world. So my brain, if I'm not nourishing my brain, if I'm not strengthening my brain, if I'm damaging my brain, no matter what good thoughts I have, what ideas I have, I'm not going to be able to execute them and bring them into manifestation, because the vehicle on the earth, the physical vehicle that guides the activity, is not going to be optimal. So the prefrontal cortex of the brain is critical to this whole part of awakening divinity within. And we've had these conversations in previous shows about the prefrontal cortex and the goal, the role it plays in terms of cultivating morality and spirituality, etc. Well, this is a time when we really want to put the energy into nurturing that prefrontal cortex. So one of the exercises that we'll be learning tomorrow is an exercise which is specifically designed to do just that. But then when we go out after that, we don't want to be drinking and drugging and carrying on, because all these things damage the function of the prefrontal cortex. See, those who control the world by controlling people. They're able to control people by having people not have the power to liberate themselves. And the power to liberate ourselves comes from awakening divinity within. And the ability to awaken the divinity within comes from my ability to cultivate and nourish the spirit, my spirit, of which my physical body is a part. So if I'm not able to take care of my physical body, if I'm abusing my physical body, if I'm taking in substances which harm my physical body, and the primary organ of the body which executes what I want to accomplish is my brain, so I'm taking in things that are damaging my brain, then I'm not going to be able to carry out the things that are going to free me so that people can be able to continue to control me. So they control us through our habits, through our sensual connections. They control us through our diseases, which are part of the manifestation of the wrong thoughts and wrong behaviors that we accept. And as while and a part of this whole period of time, when they have people out here drinking and drugging and carrying on, calling themselves having a good time for the holiday season, all that is a part of the design, because they know good and well that if that's the kind of behavior that you're sowing, you're living in this kind of this time period, it's not going to allow you to nurture your brain. It's not going to allow you to free the part of the brain that's going to be able to control the animal parts of the brain. So you're going to be continually tapped into the behaviors of the animal part of the spirit, because you've been sown the seed of just out here partying and having a good time drinking and alcohol consumption. So it's all designed. It's all planned. It's all very manipulative, but it's also very successful, because people in ancient times, in the olden times, didn't have the ability to find this knowledge that will enable them to lead and guide them toward liberation. But we don't have that excuse anymore. The books are here. The systems are here. The people are here. The guides and teachers. And we're constantly reenacting and reinforcing and reanimating these practices and teachings. So we encourage everyone to come out tomorrow, participate in this intensive, so they can begin to sow the seeds toward liberation. Black people always talk about we need to be liberated. Well, you can't be liberated if you're drinking the white man's liquor. You can't be liberated if you're smoking the white man's dope. You can't be liberated if you're smoking the white man's bad food, eating the black man's bad food. All of these are the things that keep us in bondage. So we want to free ourselves. Say free your mind. You can't free your mind if you don't free your spirit, because the spirit is the higher part of the mind. The mind is a part of the spirit. You got to tap into the highest part of the spirit, which controls the mind, so-called mind, which controls the brain, which controls our function and behaviors.
Brother Orwell, the phones keep lighting up. Brother, somebody else wants to talk to you. I'm going to try 3720. Let's see. 3720, are you there?
I'm here. My question
welcome.
Is,
thank you so much for your call. You're on the air with Dr. Orwell. Hey, you meant to Ryan Comey.
Thank you very much. My question is very simple. I think that this has been one of the best shows I've heard in a while. But my question is, what about age? If you're an older person and want to rekindle, because I am familiar with the society, is that you can still do what has to be done to raise yourself or back to a higher form of divinity. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, yeah. You're closer to making it happen now because you have fewer distractions. You no longer believe that just because that guy looks good that he's going to be good for you. You've been through that.
Mm.
So now, you're looking for some other things, some other qualities.
Yeah.
So you're not going to receive. You know, a wise man once told me, "Youth is wasted on the young," and it's true.
Mm.
The young folks, the glitter, everything that glitters looks like gold. So they're constantly running around from thing to thing. But as you get older, you begin to, experience has taught you some things. So you begin to look for value in experiences as opposed to glitz and glamour.
Okay.
And then we got Rai Qigong. Yeah, we got the Rai Qigong, which is going to enable you to say, recapture some of that energy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. I'll be there tomorrow.
Very good.
Okay, I'm going to try to go back to, thank you so much for your call, caller. I'm going to try to go back to the call that just keeps begging me to come back to it. I'm going to try it again. Okay, 7264, are you there? You're on the air. You had your one is pressed. Your light is lit. Your hand is up. Are you there? Do you have a question or a comment for Dr. Nkomi? 7264. Okay, that was an accident. They didn't. They must have pressed that by accident. Anybody else? If you have a question or a comment, all you have to do is just press one. I see the phone lines are lit, Brother Orwell. There are a lot of people on getting this information for the solstice. There are a lot of people who are going to be attending the solstice observances and classes across the United States and the world. So, again, you have Orwell on the line right now. Don't let him get away. Okay, if you have a question or a comment that you would like to ask, all you have to do is just press 1. If you're listening online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. Well, I want to give the address and some information about the workshop in D.C. The class is going to be held, in, or the observance is going to be held in D.C., the boot camp, the intensive. Part one is from 1 to 2:30 p.m. That's tomorrow, okay, December the 23rd. Part one starts at 1 o'clock. Now, I encourage you to get there earlier than that. If it starts at 1, you don't want to walk in the door at 1, okay? So get there at 12:30, at least, at the early, at the latest 12:30, okay? But part one starts at 1. It's from 1 to 2:30 p.m., and then part two is from 3 to 4 p.m., okay? So there must be, there's going to be obviously an intermission in between there, between the 2:30 and the 3, okay? Meditation starts at 5:30 p.m., okay? Now, this is going to be at the Simbeb Wellness Complex, which is at 6224 3rd Street in Washington, D.C. And in case you need to MapQuest that, that's 20011. And for more information, you call 202-630-2507. Again, that's 202, for more information, 630-2507. Now, if you attended all three Sarset D.C. Solstice prep classes, you may attend at no cost. Okay, I'm going to say that again. If you have already attended all three of Sarasota DC Solstice prep classes, then for you, this is free. Okay, now if you'd like to go online and get more information, then you go to www.osarasetdc.org. Osaraset is A U S A R, Oset, A U S E T. D, like David, C, like Charlie, .org. Again, that's going to be tomorrow. You don't want to miss it, okay? That's going to be from 1 until 5:30 p.m. Well, the meditation starts at 5:30 p.m. That's the last portion of the intensive. That's going to start at 5:30 p.m. You don't want to wait till 1 to get there. Don't walk in the door late. You know, we have this way of being fashionably late. You don't want to be late for this. This is your divinity is on the line here, okay? Act like you care, okay? Get there early, all right, so that you can make sure that you're seated comfortably and enjoy an experience that's going to help you to grow. Brother Orwa, there's so much that we could talk about. I mean, there's just so much. Can we just talk real briefly about the 11 laws as a guide? Again, when becoming divine, you need a guide. You need something to be able to measure your growth by. Could you talk about the 11 laws as a guide?
Okay. Well, let's just talk with the first law, the law of Amen. The law of Amen states that peace is my essential nature. If peace is my nature, meaning happiness is my true nature, and then enjoy is my true nature, anytime I have an experience through which I'm experiencing something other than peace or something other than unending joy, then I'm violating the law of my being. So that, and it shows that that thing that I'm doing is now harming me, because if I'm supposed to be at peace, if I'm supposed to be experiencing unending joy, and I'm experiencing grief or sadness or despondency or depression or whatever, I'm violating the essence of my being. But not only that, I'm harming my spirit. I'm harming my being because I'm not giving it the kind of nurturing that it needs. So that becomes the foundational piece in terms of all experiences that we have, all experiences that we measure. So we have to look at, well, anytime I'm experiencing anger or joy, I mean, any kind of emotion, if it's not unending joy, if it's not joy based on the fact that I'm at peace, then there's something wrong here. Because what's the result? Why do we say it's bad for you? Well, science has shown that anytime you get upset, for example, it lowers your IQ. It also causes the body to secrete harmful hormones into the system, cortisol, etc. These are relics of behavioral patterns of our evolutionary past, meaning and we need to clarify this one point quickly. When we say evolutionary past, our ancestors did not believe or know that we evolved from animals. That's a Western man's idea that there's so many holes in it that he doesn't even believe anymore. But anyway, some people do. But anyway, we did not evolve from animals. Consciousness comes into the world. First, consciousness, God, our true being, creates the world through which he can come into the world and experience the fullness of his potential. So consciousness, God, creates all things possible. And through the experience of learning these things, as it comes into the world, it identifies with an aspect of being, right? So consciousness comes into the world and identifies with a roach, or identifies with a human, or identifies with a dog or a cat or a butterfly or whatever. Well, that thing that's identifying with is not its true essence. It's just merely the vehicle through which it's expressing itself. So, if I'm expressing myself through, let me say it another way. If my consciousness used to express itself through the animal kingdom, then as I evolve past the animal kingdom into the human kingdom, the lessons of the animal kingdom I take with me. So dogs don't become people. People evolve what we call people. Once the consciousness that's in people today once may have dwelled within a dog. So we learn that behavior. We learn the reptilian and the mammalian behavior, because those are the part of the brains that are dominant in those species. And those are part of our evolutionary past. The problem is they don't serve us in our current situation. When we were in the animal kingdom, fight or flight was important in all situations, because there's always somebody that's going to try to eat you, or you're always trying to eat somebody.
Right.
But in humans, we don't have to go through that experience. It's because we see something different or someone different. We don't have to fight or fear them or fight or flight from them. That's holder from the animal past. But whenever I call up that emotion, though, those energies, I'm damaging my being. I'm damaging my body, which is the vehicle through which I'm going to have the potential to express my divinity. And if I'm damaging my body, it's going to damage my brain and all parts of my body. So I'm not going to be able to live and act on the thoughts, the high, lofty thoughts that we have about who I am. So it's critical that we understand that we are divine beings, but that our divinity is manifested through spiritual initiation work. Because everyone comes into the world with certain things that they carry from the past, from their past previous lifetimes, from experiences in the animal kingdom or whatever. But those are not where we are. Those are where we've been. Those are not where we're going. And so we have to always keep the goal in mind, right? If you don't have a goal, like they say, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Well, that's the problem with the majority of people in the world. Most people in the world don't know where they're going, because there's no system, there's no societal structure to guide them, to guide most people. Traditional societies, African traditional societies, other traditional societies, had systems that they put in place in order to guide people toward the awakening of their divinity. But Western man, it's like a... The best he can hope for is you're an animal. And if you accept that you're an animal, then that's what you're going to be. The only thing you can be. An animal with a little more brains. So Western man sees human beings as animals with a little more brains. So that's what we end up with. We end up a world with a bunch of animals that have a little more brains. When we need divine beings. So we have to tap into our African ancestral knowledge, our African ancestral culture, African ancestral history, which shows that, yeah, we may be here, but this is not where we're going to end up, this is not where we're going, and there's a process, there's processes that our ancestors put in place to take us where we need to go. But these are things that you only get through initiation, through someone who's been there, who can guide us through it. And fortunately, we have our sage king, Shechem Rishchechem, who can provide us with that guidance to lead us to where we need to go to become the divine beings that we're destined to be.
You know, Brother Orwell, if we could just take a couple of them, you know, because I know there are people out there listening. There may be people that are tuned in today that are hearing this information for the very first time, and they heard you say, you know, that peace is our nature and that, you know, we can be at peace and, you know, whatever the situation is. Now, let's just take a couple of them because there are people that might be experiencing this even as we speak. And if they aren't experiencing it now, then they have at some point in their lifetime, or they will at some point in their lifetime. And that's death in the family. That's death in the family. Oftentimes people might feel like, okay, I'm cool, I'm good, until somebody passes away, a loved one passes away. Now, they heard you say that, you know, that once you experiencing these emotions that, you know, cortisol and other chemicals are released into the body, harmful to the body, but they might say, well, that's easier said than done. I understand that, but that was mama, you know what I mean? That was the person, that was daddy, that was grandma, you know? What do you say to that and other situations? That another one is where people feel like they have been wronged. You know, it's easy to be peaceful until somebody does you wrong, quote, end quote. You know, you might have been undermined at work. Somebody may be going through this. You may be undermined at work. You know, you hate your supervisor. They out to get you, so you think. What do you say to those,
Well, you know, we are already at the... It's a long discussion. But let's just take one of them. Let's just take the grieving piece. It's natural. It's normal, I should say, to experience when we lose something, to recognize, acknowledge it's gone. The issue is this. We have to be satisfied, or founded, I should say, rooted in the understanding that everything is cyclical. Right? There was a time when we weren't here. There's a time when we won't be here. Everything has its season. And as long as we understand that and we appreciate that, then we can appreciate the fact that we had the opportunity to share the time, that we had to share the time with that person that was has gone on. So we can enjoy the fact that of the memories of that person, because this is the critical piece, the most important part. You know, once a person passes, their ability to continue their growth as toward it becoming a divine being ceases. The only way they can continue to receive information and insight to help further them in their understanding of who they need to become is through those who are living. And so the memories that we have of the people that we lose, and the things that we commit ourselves to doing while we're living our lives, can serve as catalysts to help those that we've lost to remember when they come back what it is that they need to accomplish. But if I'm all distraught and constantly wallowing and weeping and crying, et cetera, when I lose someone, then how am I helping that person? How am I helping myself? How am I helping the others who are around me who have to continue to live? I have to continue to live with. You know, oftentimes, you know, to lose a child, fortunately, I haven't lost any children yet. But, you know, they say when a lot of people lose a child, sometimes they say, I can't go on, et cetera, but they have two other children there. So the other children suffer because that person has gotten so tied in the wrong understanding of what happiness is. Happiness is enjoying the same person when we have them and enjoying the fact that we had them when we don't have them. That's what true happiness is. And if we don't get to that point, then we're constantly being manipulated by the society and the people around us, because that's how they control us. They control us by manipulating the quote-unquote our joy. They sold new things out there. Oh, if you lose this, you gotta have this to be happy. You gotta have this to be happy. Don't do it that to make you sad. No, none of that has anything to do with my happiness or my sadness. I control my happiness. I control my happiness. My happiness is my true nature. And if I allow it to, if I lose it, it's because I gave it up. So we have to, as long as we appreciate the fact and understand, this is why it's important to understand that life is a continuum, that people, things just don't end. They transform energy. Like I say, energy is never created nor destroyed. It really is transformed into new forms and new shapes. Well, the body that we have, once we leave this body, becomes a body for someone else or something else. So it's a constant reshuffling of the psyche. But my spirit, the higher levels of the spirit, the part of the spirit through which my mind operates, through which my the higher values of the 11 laws operate, that part is eternal. But I can only access it if I'm aware that it exists and I cultivate the understanding that it exists and I develop and then understand through my living experience that it exists. That way I'm able to tap back into it. Otherwise, I'm going to come back to Earth and be caught in the same quagmire that I was caught into when I was born this time, because I'm not going to have the foreunderstanding, foreknowledge, of past knowledge of the experience of life as a continuing and growing toward my divinity.
You know, Orwa, I really want to be respectful of your time. I know we've gone past the hour, but somebody else, this is a different caller, has pressed. Well, do you have time for one more call?
Sure.
Okay. 7731, you're on the air with Orwa. Hey, he must have run a comment. 7731, thank you for your call. 7731? Hello? Yes. Ma'am, you're on the air. Okay. Don't press one unless you want to talk, okay? If you don't want to talk, all right. Brother Orwa, I want to thank you so much for your time today, and thank you for the extended time that you've given us. You've really laid it out there. You've given us every reason why we should attend the boot camp tomorrow. And everybody, I'm going to give the information again because it's so important that you make it there. It's broken down into parts, okay? There's part one from 1 to 2:30, but you're going to get there at 12:30, right? Right, okay? It's from 1 to 2:30 p.m. That's part one. Part two is from 3 to 4 p.m. And then the meditation is starting at 5:30, and that's going to be at the Sinbeb Wellness Complex at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20011. Again, that's the Sinbeb Wellness Complex at 6224 3rd Street, Washington, D.C. That's Northwest, and the zip code there is 20011. And if you'd like more information, then you call 202-630-2507. And again, as I mentioned earlier, if you attended all three SRSET D.C. Solstice Prep classes, then you get this one for free, okay? There's a bonus for you in that, okay? You get to go for free. So for more information, if you want to check online, it's www.osairsetdc.org. Again, that's www.osairsetdc.org. Oh, wow, this sounds like this is going to be fabulous, brother. Any parting words for our listeners today?
Remember, you reap what you sow.
You reap what you sow. Well said. You've said a lot, brother. You reap what you sow. For those who are ready to go higher, you have read the books. You've actually done the meditations. But there are levels to this thing. You got to ask yourself, am I where I want to be? You know, we look at people sometimes and we look at them and we look at where they are and we're like, man, one day, you know, one day I'll be there. But like a brother told me once, in order to have what I have, you have to do what I did, you know. So for those of you who look at people like Orwa and the different Orwats and the Shechems, and you're like, man, you sit in their classes and you soak up their knowledge and you sit there in awe of the knowledge that they have and the ease with which they disseminate it to you, and you're growing and you're like, man, one day. Well, one day can be your day if you do what they did, okay, in order to get there. All right, there's work involved being a divine being, and it's not going to just happen. because you want it to. You're going to have to do the work. And again, I want to make sure that everybody has this information, and I want you to share it, all right? There are people that you know that weren't on this call that you know need to be at the workshop or the observance tomorrow. So, I mean, this window is going to come and go. So while you have this opportunity, this is an opportunity, a divine opportunity that has been presented to us, okay, share this information, share this show with somebody that you know needs to be there, okay? Also, I want to tell you all about a song that I just heard recently, and I played it at the top of this show, and I'm going to play it again at the end of the show. It is a very, very beautiful song. It's actually a song, it's actually, people call it the Solstice song, and it's by Maati Star and Ankhra Amenhotep, and the executive producer of this is Orawat Enintachasara and Kamet. She also sings on the song as well. It's beautiful. I mean, it's from the CD called It's Kwanzaa Time, and I'll tell you how you can get it. You can actually buy it on CD Baby, okay? And you can go to www.cdbaby.com/M, like Maat, /CD/Maatisa. I'll say that again. That's www.cdbaby.com/M, as in Maat, /CD, /, and then it's Maatisa. That's M like Maat, A-A-T, like Tom, I-S-A, okay? You want to get that, all right? Now, during this time that we're having the winter solstice and observing it, you want to listen to music that reminds you of your divinity, reminds you of why you're even doing this observance. The song that I'm about to play is an awesome, awesome reminder. And before I do that, though, I have one more announcement to make, and that is that this is for next year, beginning of next year, but I'm going to start plugging this now. Dr. Ruby Lathan, who's a regular on our show, she has the Re-Engineer Your Life Holistic Health Summit, okay? And that's January the 27th, 2018, if you're in the D.C., Washington, D.C., the DMV, okay? And the summit highlights include there's going to be a summit wellness fair. There are going to be keynote addresses, a free morning yoga class, free giveaways, plant-based breakfast and luncheon, and they're in their fourth year, and that's going to be at 3600 John McCormick Drive in Northeast Washington. That's 20017, in case you need to MapQuest it. Okay, again, that's Dr. Ruby's Re-Engineer Your Life Holistic Health Summit. She's a regular on this show. You can hear her in the archives. That's going to be January the 27th, 2018. There's going to be a free yoga class starting at 8 o'clock, but the event is actually from 9 to 4:30, but the yoga class is from 8:15 until 9. That's a free yoga class, okay? So if you'd like more information, then you go to www.myhealthsummit.com. All right? So, Brother Horwa, again, I want to thank you so much, everybody. I encourage you to make it out to the intensive tomorrow. Again, this window is going to come and go. You want to make sure that during this window that you did everything that you could to plant the seeds to ensure that you grow into that divine being that you were put here to be, so that when the spring comes around and the seeds start to bloom and everything, you start to see the fruit of your labor, then you'll be satisfied, you'll be pleased, and get with other people that are doing the same work, okay? My name is Jawanza. To everybody that's hearing this show for the first time, you can actually follow the show on Blog Talk, and that way every time we have a show, you'll be notified, okay? Orwa is a regular pretty much on this show. We've done shows with many, many priests and priestesses of the Osiriset Society. Matter of fact, I want to encourage everybody to go back and listen to a show we did just the night before last with Shechemt I'm Hetrahim Ma'at, talking about the Managed Mind Incorporated and meditation. You definitely want to hear that show because it deals specifically with meditation, which is what you're going to be doing a lot of during the winter solstice, planting those seeds. So definitely go back and listen to that show and other shows. All you have to do is just scroll down the archives. You'll see shows with Dr. Orwa Hehime Taran Kamen. You'll see shows with Shechem and Shechem Ra'u Nefa Amen. We've done shows on Wa'eb. We've done shows on Stress Free for Life. You'll see shows with Hexham Suheru Shechem Me'ab Neter. You'll see shows with Shechem Tep Raim Sahai and other priestesses and priestesses. We did a show again. Go back and listen to the Winter Solstice show with Shechem Sa'antaku Nenebu. Okay, my God, that's an awesome, awesome show. Check that out. All right? So I encourage everybody to, again, follow the show, Jawanza for Life, and you'll be notified every time we have another powerful, powerful guest from the Osirisset Society and others as well. Orwa, any parting words? Again, any final words for our listeners? Oh, that's right. Okay. You said it, all right? And you said it best, okay? You reap what you sow. My name is Jawanza. Again, I'm getting ready to play this song. It's by Ma'ati Sa and Ankh Ra Haminatep and get it on CD Baby, okay? www.cdbaby.com/m/cd/Ma'ati Sa, okay? That's from the album It's Kwanzaa Time. My name's Jawanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy your observance, okay? Head to poo.
So. No.